This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Couple minutes after 3 o'clock here on The Fan, I commend Tiki Barber and Sean Morash. They were ahead of the curve a couple of days ago. They told you, Giant fans. Told you. They said it respectfully. They said John Mara is not going to fire Joe Shane and Brian Daboll after the season. And last night, while at the premiere of a brand new documentary that I can't wait to watch,
yes,
that Tiki is a part of, about the life and legacy of Wellington Mara.
Officially, the Duke.
The Duke.
The giant life of Wellington Mara.
Very cool. John Mara was, of course, asked about, hey, you're going to get rid of these guys? And he said, we're not making any changes. We're trying to be patient. We're going to see through the process. And I said, all these great hands, great things. And by the way, I want to make this clear before we continue this. Right now, on October 24th, I wouldn't fire Joe Shane or Brian Daboll. Mm-hmm. So I'm certainly not arguing with you about this. But here's where, respectfully, I think you guys are wrong for taking any kind of bows. John Mara is a good, honest man.
Of course he is.
I believe that. But I also think, as a good, honest man, cards subject to change.
What do you mean?
As of today, if someone asks him, are you firing your coach or GM, his answer is going to be no. I'm not doing it now, and I don't plan on doing it at the end of the season. I don't think he ever planned on firing Ben McAdoo in the middle of the season. I don't think he ever planned on getting rid of Joe Judge after his second season. And so, again, I'm not arguing with you guys that I would fire these guys because I want to see it through for a lot of the same reasons you have. But I think that it would have been almost inappropriate for John Mara to say anything other than what he said last night.
It really is a premature question.
That's just a different... Okay, the question not being fair, you mean?
No. It's just premature.
Of course.
Like, you don't have any idea, just like we didn't have any idea with your team, Evan, after 5 weeks that this coach wasn't the right coach for this team.
Right.
And it's the same thing with the Giants and Dabes and Shane. After 7 weeks, they've been some tough losses. And I don't want to talk about the almosts. But there's a certainty in football. It is hard to win in the NFL. I don't care how good you think you are, it is hard to win in the NFL.
Amen.
Even the top teams. One of the top teams I have this weekend, the Houston Texans, they lost last week against the Green Bay Packers because they couldn't complete a pass on third down.
Right.
And they ended up leaving a minute and a half left, and they go down, they lose by a point on a last-second field goal by the Packers. It's hard to win in the NFL.
Amen.
And so, unless there is a level of ineptitude and, I don't know, malpractice, let's call it, on game days that's causing you to lose, it's really hard to just say, yep, it's over, get rid of the coach. I know we're not even halfway through the season. Let's look forward to 2025. And that's what people want to do. Honestly, that's why Sean and I addressed it. It's because even if you think that that could happen at the end of the season, it is so premature to even talk about it right now.
Yeah, so I had this argument with a guy, and I did it on the air, so there's record of this, mm-hmm. but there's a guy who's still a very loyal listener to the show, DMs me all the time, hates Tommy, by the way. I defend you to this guy. He just does not like
it. He hates negative Tommy, or he hates positive
hates
Tommy?
He hates everything about Tommy. Damn, and he blames me for Tommy, and I'm like, well, all right, fine, I'll take the blame. But I love Tommy. And I tell him that. I said, Tommy's great. Give him more time. But this guy's a diehard Giant fan. And when I was on the air with Craig a few years ago, towards the end of Joe Judge, Craig didn't like Joe Judge. And I think he was very honest about that. And
I got to be honest, I liked him in the first few months.
I think we all did.
Yeah. He just felt like, all right, this guy's got it.
Craig had his reasons for not liking Joe Judge. Didn't Joe refuse to come on our show once or something like that?
Once, several times.
Yeah. It was so childish, but he turned out to be right. And I always say that to him. I was like, listen, you won the argument. But it was the middle of the season. And I said to this guy, and I said to our audience, I don't think Joe Judge will lose his job,
mm-hmm.
okay, because I didn't think it, but you never know in this sport. It takes a very special kind of ineptitude, but it can happen. And slowly the ineptitude happened, and the guy would get so mad at me. Like, Evan, stop building up giant fans to think they're going to get rid of Joe Judge. And I'm like, dude, if this continues, they're going to. And I wasn't by any stretch predicting it.
Yeah.
But what I was warning people, again, from my experience of seeing such awfulness, is that, of course it can happen. Like, John Mara last night did not lie to anybody when he said, quote, I don't anticipate making any changes regarding Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. He doesn't. And if I had to guess right now, I don't think he will.
No.
But what I've learned is that, can something happen in the next 2 months? And I thought you eloquently described it. Yeah, it takes a special kind of incompetence. Do I think that's going to happen specifically with Brian and Joe? No.
Yeah.
I haven't seen enough evidence of that.
Well, there was certainly, I think the circumstances also have to change. So the circumstances changed for Joe Judge. One was they decided to move on from Dave Gettleman, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one, even though it's non-direct, but it kind of turns out to be that way.
But hold on, in fairness, we knew for a while they were getting rid of Dave Gettleman.
I know
that.
And
the exception was, or the expectation was, he'll remain and they'll hire a new GM, as awkward as that is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which never made any sense.
Agreed.
And so, but let's hold that for a second.
Yeah.
And then the second was this level of incompetence that we're talking about. This, let's, third and whatever, five, we're just going to take a knee? Or whatever the heck they decided to do a couple of plays in a row?
Quarterback sneak behind the center.
Yeah, like, what?
Yeah.
Are you not even trying? And then to answer it incredulously? Like, we're idiots? So I think he, and then ultimately talked himself out of it. But I think it, the reason he ended up getting fired, I think, Joe Judge, is because once you start thinking about bringing in a new general manager, and you're changing kind of everything, you're trying to change the culture, you're trying to change personnel, the general manager is going to be new, it made no sense to hang on to the head coach, especially if there was that ineptitude. And so that's why Joe Judge got fired.
Agreed.
And that's not the case in week seven of that 2021 season. You know what I mean?
I completely agree.
And so circumstances have to drastically change in order for, I think, John Mara and whoever else is helping him make that decision, say, you know what, these guys aren't the guys. By the way, I just don't feel that that's the working, like, I don't think like there's working dysfunction.
No.
I know people want to make it sound like that, but I don't think it's that way.
No, I don't think there's dysfunction at all. And I think if you're projecting this new dysfunction, sure, anything can happen. I'd be the first to tell you.
But
I agree with that.
But why? I don't.
What makes you think it'll happen?
Yeah,
I have no evidence that it would.
I don't either.
But people
keep wanting to talk about, oh, there's things going on.
This is why.
Like, what the hell are you talking about,
Tiki? This is why the giant writers, and I like a lot of them, and the fan base, both in collaboration, this is now a pattern. This isn't the first time. They get tired of talking about the same old, same old. They got tired of talking about how bad the offensive line was and blaming that. So they went to blaming Daniel Jones. Now we've gotten to the point where the Daniel Jones bust, we found out on Hard Knocks. We know the regime's done with him.
But there are, I mean, Tommy's a Giant fan. Would you, and don't be afraid of the shrapnel you'll get. You can be honest either way.
I think I've been very honest with the franchise, no matter what the shrapnel is.
I agree. Yeah. So I'm just asking you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you talk to CP yet?
Who?
CP, the franchise.
CP, the franchise?
Yeah.
What does he have to do with this?
And the Knicks got their ass kicked.
We will hold a midseason meeting with the Knicks fans. Love CP, by the way.
By the way, I'm surprised you didn't pick up on that one.
I was confused. Meanwhile, and CP knows this, when the Knicks lost the other night, oh my God, was I watching his show all night? I love it.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
His show and the Knicks lose, and he knows it. Tommy, I know a lot can change in the next few weeks. Would you see yourself wanting to move on from this regime if things continue to go badly?
My only thing going into this is I believe from the very beginning that Dable and Shane were told they were coming back. And I believe Dable has coached this year to lose games in order to get that quarterback.
Tommy, I just wanted
to set that up to answer the question.
Okay, because I get that's your theory, and that's fine. My question is, as a Giant fan, because I'm trying to prove a point, you may not help me prove it, and that's totally fine. There are plenty of other people that will. There are Giant fans who genuinely, even if I and you disagree, would say, hey, if things don't go well, Shane hasn't done a good enough job, Dable hasn't done enough good enough job, I want them gone. Are you one of those Giant fans who can see yourself at the end of the year saying, I want them gone. They didn't do well enough.
Yes.
Okay.
So I set that part up to, this was an off-air conversation I had with Sean last night in text. Sean's like, well, John Mara wants to turn this into the Steelers. Here's the problem. The Steelers win. The Giants haven't won in forever. So you want to make this like this is the Steelers. If we are at a point now, with all due respect, that Mr. Mara doesn't want to continue to fire GMs and coaches, okay, that's all well and good. But if you're not winning and you don't want to do that just because you don't want the dysfunction, that's ass backwards too. You either have results, you either win or you don't. So you're giving them a pass. You essentially said last night, these guys are getting another 2 to 3 years.
No, but hold on. I got to defend that. John Mara couldn't say anything other than what he said. How could he say, I'll evaluate at the end of the year? You want to make this like a front page story, your ass is on the griddle? Like, why would you do that as an owner?
No, you wouldn't.
You
wouldn't.
Stupid.
Because it just puts more pressure on everybody.
Yes.
And so it doesn't make sense. I push back, though. I don't think he's trying to make it like the Steelers, where it's just continuity for decades and a half, because that's basically what the last two coaches have been there.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Coward and now Mike Tomlin. I mean, it's 30 years and they've been two coaches. I don't think that's necessarily what he's doing, but I do think he sees the value in continuity and seeing a plan through. Now, I said this 2 years ago. I when I talked about Joe Shane, I knew that there was a big plan. It wasn't like, hey, we're going to get this right in a year, because he told me, he's like, we're not good enough.
Right.
Like, there's some games we're going to get our butts kicked because we're not good enough. We don't have a good enough talent. That's what he told me the first time I met him. We were over when we did our radio. Or no, you weren't. It was BT and me. We did the radio show from over there. And I went up and met with him, and we had a good conversation. He's like, the offensive line's going to be good. Running the football. Saquon's going to be great. Yada, yada, yada. But we're not good enough in certain areas. And from that point on, I knew that there was a bigger plan. And you just have to see it out. And so unless something goes, circumstances change.
Yeah.
Drastically, I don't see John Mara not seeing it out. It just doesn't make sense to cut it off before it really gets a chance.
You're both right, by the way. Loogie, where I want to defend you on this is because I've had this discussion about the Jets a lot, and you made a point that I've made, so I'm with you on this. You don't keep a regime for the sake of keeping a regime. You don't do it for the sake of being the Pittsburgh Steelers. Because what I would argue about the Pittsburgh Steelers is, other than Chuck Noll, who began his career at Steelers coach with three horrible seasons in a row, all of the other guys that have continued to keep their jobs, they started off pretty good. Like, there wasn't any, like, real tough decision about, should I get rid of Bill Cowher? Should I get rid of Mike Tomlin? They were winning immediately.
Yeah.
And I always used to say this about Woody, because we used to argue this about Todd Bowles. I wanted Todd Bowles fired, because I said, enough's enough. They've given him enough time. Enough time had gone by. So I agree, you'd never keep somebody for the sake of keeping somebody. If you've already identified they're not the right guy, then you should get rid of them. I am totally with you. But I do want to see something through. And where I'm at as an IFO on Brian Dable and Joe Shane is I got a lot of mixed baggage, man.
Right.
I got some good stuff. I got some crappy stuff. I don't have enough stuff to say, that ain't the answer. I don't have enough stuff, by the way, conversely, to say that's the answer.
But you have more on that's the answer than you
have
thought.
I have more. I'm not ready to quit this yet.
Right.
Like, that's where I'm at as an IFO, so I'm probably not as gung-ho as you, Sean, but I'm certainly not as I got to get off the pot like Tommy is, and that's because, you want to know why? Because unlike you two, I'm an IFO.
No, but my thinking is that John Mara is thinking like this.
It's Mr. Mara.
Mr. Mara, for the last...
well, no, as long as he said his last name, it's fine.
For the
Of, like you, Sean. Hey, John. Dude, come on, man. Show some respect.
I did.
Again.
Yeah, after I called you out on it.
You did.
Let's not turn against each other. We're with each other.
With all due respect, the Giants are neck and neck with the Jets for being dysfunctional and bad and losing. They are, Sean. They are at Jet level.
From a production standpoint, you're not wrong.
Losing games, firing coaches. Correct. So I think that John Mara is sitting there going, all right, I just don't want that anymore. So you know what? We'll just deal with Dable and Shane, and then maybe this is a bad week for this example because they're playing in the World Series. Then we have Boone and Cashman 2.0 with the Giants. Seriously, where these guys got lifetime contracts? Because Hal doesn't want to deal with it.
I feel like I'm just getting like sat on the chest here, and this is what's going to blow my mind with this. We're getting lazy, Giants fans. We're getting lazy, Giants media. Daniel Jones stinks. Good guy stinks. We all know he stinks, right? So we've gotten done talking about that he stinks. So now there's nothing.
But the Giants lead the league in 10 play drives. Just so you know.
Okay. But this is what the point I'm trying to get at. When your job is to write and cover a team, and when your job is to, you know, or not job, when you want to socialize about the team, if now we've all finally come in unison on something and it's still only the end of October, where else can you channel your negativity? Let's start focusing on the coach and the general manager.
You're not wrong about this. You're right.
We are so tired, like we got tired about blaming the O-line with blaming Daniel Jones, that now we've turned our attention to the coach who was the coach of the year 2 years ago and the GM who, as it stands right now, has the best draft class from the past draft. It's patently absurd to suggest that they, by the way, who did the right thing, they gave a quarterback a 2-year contract effectively to see if he could ascend. Smart decision. Even though he hasn't played well, now they get out of it. They didn't do the Daniel Jones mistake again by going, we couldn't get the quarterback we wanted, so let's draft Bo Nix here, and instead added a playmaker. So now you're going to tell me we should fire them for not making the same mistakes of regimes past. They deserve to take their own guy this
year. Hold on a second. First of all, I've been crushing Brian Dable since last year when I called him the Cowardly Lion. That's number one. Number two, Sean loves to bring up Joe Douglas. Oh, it's easy to take Sauce Gardner
all right,
there.
Forget Joe Douglas.
No, but my point is that he moves the goalposts with his team because he says it's easy to draft Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson there. Joe Shane had an opportunity with, where was Neal picked? Sixth?
Seventh.
He picked Evan Neal seventh!
Yeah, but...
You can't do that there! This guy's the biggest bust in the history of the franchise!
That was his first draft, correct?
Tiki.
It was.
That was hold on, Tommy. You get my point. That was his first draft, correct?
Yes.
Who did all the scouting?
Who did all the scouting?
The Gettleman team, many of which were dismissed after.
Oh, we got you!
All of them are gone.
Yo.
I'm just telling you, all of them are gone. It was a recommendation from a scout team that he ultimately fired.
Okay.
So I know it was his first draft, and those guys haven't... I mean, three of those linemen, they missed. Why Josh Sizudu is playing tackle, I have no idea. I had to go, like, reconfirm this. He played guard at UNC. And so I know he has tackle size and ability. You're putting a guy who doesn't fit a role into a role that he doesn't fit into. What's that?
Which is on Dable.
Of course it is. Of course it is. But it's also on, like, depth and finding, you know, competency at one of the most important positions in football. It's hard to say, go get a high-level left tackle when Andrew Thomas is your left tackle. But Andrew Thomas is starting to prove to be unavailable often enough that you kind of have to really think about depth when you think about your left tackle. There's so many, like, layers to this. And it's really interesting that I went and saw this documentary. So it premiered last night. It's called The Duke, the Giant Legend of Wellington Mara. And one of the things they talked about was how Mr. Mara, Wellington, hired coaches. And it was all about, like, the relationship that he had. So he knew Vince Lombardi from when he was at Fordham. And Vince was playing. He knew Tom Landry. He knew, and this happened when Tom Coughlin was interviewing Bill Parcells, and how he hired coaches because he knew about what they would bring in their history. In today's NFL, it is hard to find that coach that you know about.
Yeah,
you know
usually it's from someone's tree.
It's exactly.
And you love the tree, and you're like, oh, Sean McVay's good, and this guy breathed on him once, so I'll hire him.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And the closest thing that we can get to that, and I'm just trying to push this forward, is that I don't know if John Mara knew Brian Daboll before. I don't know, but I know he knew Bill Belichick, right? And he knew the relationship of the coaching tree under Bill Belichick. And so, like, when you think about how you hire and why you hire, there has to be a plan. There has to be a purpose. It can't just be, this is the new hot guy. Well, let's take a shot at this guy. Those fail. Matt Rhule failed. Joe Judge failed. Ben McAdoo failed. Like, the list is plentiful throughout the National Football League. But if you don't have a purpose for bringing in a guy, then ultimately it's not going to work out. Period. We know this. History has shown us that over and over and over again.
No, you're right. I will continue to be your IFO, ladies and gentlemen. Hmm. Right now, my meter is that I would not want to fire these guys. Can something happen over the next few months that causes my IFO meter to move closer to Tommy Lugauer? I'm open to it. As they say in the wrestling business, cards subject to change. But as of right now, as an IFO, I'd have a very tough time living with myself, not seeing Brian Daboll try to develop his own quarterback.
So how many years does that take?
You're asking me?
No, as an IFO? My point is, when John Mara said what he
said yesterday.
You said
three more. I think it's two.
Yeah, I think. Look, here's what's really tough about this, because here's where you should push me. You shouldn't push me on how many years. What you should push me on is, hey, Evan, the Giants showed restraint by not taking a quarterback this year because they didn't love one. That was Sean's point. Maybe they didn't love Bo Nix. Maybe they didn't love J.J. McCarthy. And maybe they didn't love Drake May enough to trade up. We commend them, right? Well, what if this draft comes along and it's the same thing? It's a very valid possibility,
right,
that we're sitting here and we're like, I don't love any of these guys. Tiki's even said, as a football observer, don't love any of these quarterbacks as of right now.
Right.
Again, card subject to change. How many more years do I, as an IFO, say, boy, I'd hate to see Brian Daboll not develop his own quarterback? I'd say that after this year, it would start to become very challenging.
Yeah, because when are you getting your own quarterback?
Yeah, because eventually I'd say, okay, it would be like the guy, I don't want to bring up names, but there's someone I know, and he's like almost 50, and he still hasn't gotten married, and every girl he dates, this is wrong with him. And it's like, well, eventually, what are we doing?
No, right. Eventually you do have to take a swing.
Okay, so, I think that's a good analogy for this. Like, there will come a point, because it is a great question. Okay, Evan, I get it. You want to see Daboll develop his own quarterback. I understand that. How many more years are they going to be able to pass the buck? If they didn't draft one in this upcoming draft, I would even start to say, what are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Are we doing this just to keep our jobs? Yeah. Like, what's happening right now? So that'd be my answer.
And one more thing. They are 8-16 over the last year and a half. They can't beat any team in their division. They've owned the then Redskins, now Commanders. That won't happen anymore with Jaden Daniels. So they don't have little brother there anymore. Can they start winning games in the division before we talk about anything else?
So you want them fired. I just want that on the record.
I need to start seeing some results.
I get that.
And if they don't, goodbye.
All right.
Not develop a quarterback and they're around for 5-10 years.
All right, fair enough.
In a bad year, 3-3 in the division last year. But, you know, don't let facts get in the way.
Okay, but twice against Washington, yes?
Hey, Tiki, Lugash debate series is definitely happening with these two.
Well, by the end
today,
of the year,
not feeling it, but
it's coming. I feel
it's
it
like
coming.
A kettle. It's like
I don't want to have to dog walk them again, but thank you.
Nice. Let's go to Diego in East Meadow. What's up, Diego? Hey, Diego.
Hey, boys.
What's up, dude?
Tiki, first of all, congrats.
Thank you.
Be taking a trip to Cleveland next year. I'm sure it'll produce better memories than an upcoming trip to Germany I have planned out.
Are you going to watch the Bundesliga? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, that's Wednesday. We get into town shortly after that, unfortunately.
Got it.
But here's the thing with the Mara comments. It's like, even though I agree with him that you have to give it a little more time, you can't come out and say that, because Evan's right. That is a Woody Johnson thing to do. It stirs up the media. It stirs up the conversation, and it just starts drama. Because now you're essentially giving them a hall pass. You don't foresee yourself getting rid of him unless something happens. Well, you know what? You guys were very critical of Tay Banks earlier in the week, and justifiably so. But you know what? At the same time, why should he hustle? He's going to be back next year, too, unless he does something else stupid. So I think it's a losing comment from a losing owner from a losing organization that just like he can't get out of the way. Like if he's going to say that,
I think he is out of the way. But I think he is out of the way. That's the point.
This is why sometimes I love hearing from owners. Mm-hmm. They're better off not answering questions because I want to play a game with anybody that has an issue with that answer that he gave last night.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, John, are you going to fire Brian Daboll or Joe Shane? There's no good answer.
Yeah.
Like, what's the good answer he should give? No comment? That's a story. We better start winning? That's a story.
Right.
Or how about the most innocuous answer he could think of, which is, no, I don't plan on it. But that becomes something. And I think that fans hear that when the truth is, in this moment, in the middle of the NFL season, in the middle of October, no, he's not thinking about firing his coach and GM, nor should he, by the way. You know who fires their coaches in the middle of seasons? And yeah, I'm talking to you, billionaire, who's going to be in another country in a couple of months, working as the ambassador for God knows what. Dysfunctional organizations fire their coaches in the middle of the year. And I hated it. Y'all sat next to me when I wasn't an IFO. I was an IGO, a JIJO. I'm just a jet jackass. And I said, I hate this. I don't even like Robert Saleh as a head coach. But this is dysfunction. This doesn't work. So the owner says, I'm not firing my coach this season. I don't plan on doing it during the offseason. What the hell else is he supposed to say?
But you also don't want complacency.
What should have he said? Give me the answer.
What he should have said is we will evaluate both guys at the end of the season.
You blow it up by saying that, bro.
But, bro, we see this with the Cowboys. Garrett was around forever.
Tommy, now it's McCarthy. Tommy.
You don't want to be that either.
No, but let me ask you this. Don't you think evaluate at the end of the year is what's actually going to happen? You don't think that John Mara and the Tishes, because, and by the way, you can help me on this. One thing I had heard reported was that John Mara was keeping Joe Judge and that, I forget the actual Tish. I don't want to get their names wrong. I think it was Steve Tish.
Steve Tish.
Stepped in and said, we're getting rid of Joe Judge.
John Tish is the treasurer.
Okay, thank you.
Who was there more frequently.
Okay. That apparently, Steve Tish was very quiet about this, said, we're getting rid of Joe Judge. That's what I had read. I don't know what happened behind the scenes. You'd have better insight than me. So you have every right to say this is what happened, but I don't know. So my point to you is he should have said, we'll evaluate. Every organization evaluates at the end of the year. That's what they're going to do. If they don't win another game this season, I can promise you they're going to evaluate at the end of the year, and maybe you would get these shocking changes that he doesn't foresee.
But you saw this from Joe Judge, especially that last year, and we played like a montage of it. He was essentially a guy that knew he was getting fired. He was Costanza with the trophy.
Oh, my God. He got himself fired.
Brian Daboll is so comfortable with the feed up. You could just tell after the game.
Luke, you don't think Joe Judge got himself fired?
He got him. No, my point is, Judge knew he was getting fired.
No!
Yes, the stuff he was saying, the way he was coaching.
You got it wrong.
In that last year, no.
Yes, he wasn't getting fired. They were keeping him. Every report said it. They believed it. Joe Judge said and did some of the dumbest things over the last few weeks that he got himself fired. Right. He wasn't like, I don't care anymore.
Because he was fed up with the idea that Dave Gettleman was getting a farewell tour and getting no heat instead of getting actually fired.
Whatever the reason, it doesn't matter. Like, you have the story backwards. I don't think he was ever being fired. He got himself fired.
My point is that the overall disposition from Daboll, more Daboll than Shane, is that there's a comfortability here that no matter what happens, we're going to be around for a few years because they've been told that by the owner, and now the owner told all of us, something they've known for weeks.
Mm. Let's go to Lou in Astoria. What's up, Lou?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Amazing. How are you?
Good show. There's a couple of things that happened. Don't matter only playing one playoff game. You can, don't compare with Derek Jeter, please. I mean, he better 400. I mean, Mattingly is low by the fans. You guys
it's not a rip on Don Mattingly.
I got another point.
Okay. It's not a rip on Don Mattingly because you're right. He didn't perform badly in the postseason. He was awesome. He made Yankee Stadium rock in 1995. It's that, unfortunately, because he didn't win a championship, and it's not on him. He just happened to not be on great Yankee teams, that has hurt his legacy of being an all-time Yankee.
Evans, you understand the game. Jeter played for a loaded team, okay? Jeter was, if he was a pitcher, the only batter you was not afraid to pitch to was Derek Jeter. He was like a complimentary player. You put Derek Jeter.
Lou, that's not fair.
He was not a complimentary player.
You can't say that.
What do you mean? He was the captain.
He's a complimentary player. I mean, come on,
I mean, he
man.
Wasn't the straw. He didn't stir the drink, but he was more than a complimentary player.
The guy had over 3,000 hits in his career. He's the greatest complimentary player in the history of baseball, then. I'm with what you were trying to say about legacies and championships and how this isn't the NBA or necessarily quarterbacks in the NFL. But when you say, when you besmirch the greatness of Derek Jeter by saying, hey, complimentary player, what are we doing? Look, remember this about legacies. And I want to make this very clear, Tiki, because I really mean this. Mm-hmm. It's not fair. I'm not sitting here telling you how fair this stuff is. It's not fair that Aaron Judge has a batting slump in October. They don't win a World Series, and now it's tarnished forever.
Right.
No one's saying that's fair at all. But that's the way it is. Winning championships when you're a member of the New York Yankees is a must. And the upcoming 8 days is going to define, I think, how many people view Aaron Judge when it comes to his Yankee legacy. 888-808-1019. More of your phone calls coming up. Plus, I had an amazing Bill Belichick conspiracy theory that you will eat up. Plus, we'll take a closer look at some of the outside-the-box World Series MVP bets you may want to make.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app